Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. We're here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls because we have with us Don Winkler, and Don is going to be talking about vaccines and vaccination. Now, this is very important because, of course, the government has announced, well, first of all, they told us there was no more smallpox in the world, so we didn't need any more smallpox vaccinations. Now they tell us smallpox is a terrible danger. It could be there. The wicked Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden or Mrs. bin Laden could come over here and start spreading smallpox among the American people. And that way we at least would have to consider vaccinating everybody. Now, they had a commission made up of intelligent people called together back at the CDC, and they said, look, we don't want to vaccinate everybody because it would probably kill more people with the vaccination than it would help. We should just vaccinate a few people to begin with, the immediate responders, and then, of course, if there was really an epidemic, why we could ring vaccinate around the area where the people are infected. But, of course, the government really only put the committee in place to give the impression they really wanted input. They already have their agenda, and Tommy Thompson, the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, who knows nothing about anything, has decreed that we may have to start out immunizing 500,000 people and then go from there. We don't even know if there is any smallpox in the world. They've insisted there was none. But that was a year ago. Now there's a terrible threat. Well, I think you have to know something about vaccinations. And that's why I've asked Don to be with us today. Don, thank you so much for being with us here on Radio Liberty.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I know that you have led the battle here in California trying to educate people about vaccination. And most people really believe that, since we've had vaccinations, the incidence of disease has just fallen dramatically. But is that really true?
Well, the incidence of disease has fallen dramatically. However, during my research over the past 6 years, I'm led to believe by statistics that there are two other factors driving the incidence of disease down to where it is today. And those two factors are sanitation and better nutrition. I'm not going to say that perhaps in certain epidemics in any given location that vaccination may not have helped, may not have contributed, so on and so forth, but there is evidence to show that many diseases actually declined up to 90% prior to any mass vaccination. So, it's a good idea to keep in mind that there may be other factors, like I said, sanitation and proper nutrition. For instance, the decline of typhoid in New York City, we actually admit that, yes, sanitation is pretty much what wiped out typhoid in New York City, not a vaccination. So
well, I think
those are two points to consider.
Well, actually, for our listeners, those of you who haven't gotten a previous copy of our newsletter and don't subscribe, if you'd like a free copy of the newsletter, I have the mortality statistics for the United States from two separate sources, so I'm sure they're accurate, starting with 1900 and then seeing what happened to the incidence of four major communicable diseases prior to the onset of vaccines and afterwards. And I think you'll be very, 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 very surprised when you actually read those statistics, which are never brought up for the American people.
Right.
I'm sure you've seen those statistics, haven't
right.
you?
Right. Much of my research is focused on simply that, the history of disease and its decline. And it's not the picture that we are presented with on a daily basis, I assure you that.
Well, of course, we always say reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. So let's get into some of the vaccines. Now, of course, the government in its wisdom says that every child should be immunized in the nursery with hepatitis B vaccine. And then they pulled it off the market until they took the thimerosal out of it. And then have they gone back to insisting that every child get the hepatitis B vaccine?
Yes, they have. As of January of this year, they reinstated the recommendation. By they, I mean the American Academy of Pediatrics, that every newborn receive a hepatitis B vaccine before they leave the hospital.
Why?
And the problem with that is, number one, by and large, mothers are tested for hepatitis B infection during their pregnancy. So we know if the mother is positive or negative. Still, they are saying, even if the mother is negative, we're going to go ahead and vaccinate this newborn for hepatitis B. And why is a really good question, because the three high-risk groups for hepatitis B infection are IV drug users, healthcare workers, and sexually active people with multiple sex partners. And I don't know too many day-old infants that fit into any of those categories. But the CDC's ACIP committee decided that rather than try and vaccinate these kids later when they're actually at risk in their teens or late teens, early 20s, we need to start at newborns, because then we can get everyone. Then we don't miss anybody. And they admit that that is their rationale. It's easier if you have a policy in place where you just go ahead as soon as they're born and do this, then we're more likely to have 100% of the population vaccinated for hepatitis B.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that they charge $60 to $80 for the injection
in
America?
I think it has a lot to do with
and
that.
And in other countries, they charge a dollar. Do you think they're using the Americans, really our children, as guinea pigs, as they siphon off our money so that they can carry out these programs in other countries where there may be some justification for it? The average American doesn't know that in China, 700 million people have been infected there, most of it by using dirty needles with vaccination.
Right.
But we never talk about that. I wonder why. We're going to have to take a quick break here, Don. And
okay.
When we get back, of course, we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. This is the most nonsensical vaccination in all of history, and yet it's being carried out on our children, and far more people die, children die in America from hepatitis B vaccination than there are cases in children up to age 14 with hepatitis B. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and right now I want to mention to you, we have an excellent 4-tape set on vaccines. We recommend you get it so you'll have some idea what this is all about, because you're not going to get it from your doctor, and it's not your doctor's bad. Your doctor, I'm sure, believes everything he reads in the medical literature, and maybe you better start educating him. I know we have one of our supporters who told me that that she gave our 4-tape set on vaccines to a doctor, and he gave it back and said, I always knew there was something wrong, you know, with what I was doing. Thank you so much. And of course, we also have a 4-tape set on the anthrax vaccine, because that's one of the things they will be wanting to give you. In fact, since they've made all this vaccine, and of course, the man who has made so much profit is the former head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Crow, who with no investment at all on his part is on the board and been given all sorts of shares of this Bioport that makes the vaccine. And they're beginning to store it to give to the population. And why? Well, because so many of the pilots, about 2,000 pilots, said they were going to quit the military if they had to take the vaccine, so they decided not to give it to them, but they want to give it to you, and they've got to do something with it. And so they're storing it in case there is the possibility of an anthrax attack. If Saddam Hussein flies over here in a 747, starts spraying America, we want to give it to the Americans, because we're here from the government, and we're here to help. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for our 4-tape set on vaccines. Ask for our 4-tape set on anthrax vaccine. Ask for a free copy of my latest newsletter. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited, and they had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Don Winkler. And Don, you know, what is this idea that most people don't understand, that some children have terrible reactions to vaccines, some children have permanent brain damage, and some children die? What about hepatitis B? What are the statistics with that? This vaccine that they forcibly give to our children in the nursery, many times without even letting their parents know what's going on.
Right. Unfortunately, hepatitis B has turned out to be one of the worst vaccines on the market, probably even worse than DPT. A lot of people might remember at least some controversy over DPT vaccine in the early 80s, but actually, according to statistics from our Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, what we are seeing with hepatitis B vaccine is that at least 50% of the reported reactions fall into the serious or life-threatening category, whereas reports of reactions for other vaccines, the total is only about 15% of the reported reactions are serious or life-threatening. So what we're getting from this is that hepatitis B is an incredibly dangerous vaccine for a couple of reasons. For one, it doesn't help when you give a vaccine at age 1 or 2 days. The child only weighs anywhere between 5 and 10 pounds, and they're still getting a rather large dose. It's not typically scaled down just because the infant is small. So to deal with the amount of toxin that is contained in that vaccine, and I know that, yes, the government has asked the Marisol or the mercury component be removed. However, we have reason to believe that that's not completely being followed, that they did remove about 90% maybe of the mercury. We are in the process, our organization, California Vaccine Awareness, of getting the new hepatitis B supposedly mercury-free vaccine tested. We have a lab that's willing to test it and tell us, is it mercury-free or not?
Are you suggesting that the government might not be telling the truth, or the vaccine manufacturers might be deceiving the public?
Well, from what I've been told, the process by which they make these vaccines, it's really hard to all of a sudden find an alternative way to produce the vaccine that does not use thimerosal. So I'm being told from numerous sources that they still use thimerosal. That's a 50% mercury compound. But they then try to filter it out. And I've been told that that's just not possible, that you can filter out some, but no matter what, you're going to have residual mercury in this vaccine. And incidentally, Prop 65 law in California, they have standards for limits on mercury exposure per kilogram of body weight. And that's one thing we're pursuing right now, is trying to have some calculations done and some testing done, because if the amount is over Prop 65 limits, the manufacturer would actually be required then to have a warning label, and the doctor would be required to warn each parent that their child is receiving a vaccine with mercury in excess of Prop 65 limits.
Well, of course,
so that's an ongoing battle to get to the truth or the bottom of that issue.
Well, when will you have these testing done, Don?
I'm hoping to within the next couple of months, but funding is a factor. I have a a source of the vaccine, and I have a lab that's willing to do it, and I have everything in place. But we have to come up with the funding. Everything costs money, and we're going to have to pay this lab for their services.
All right, fine. Well, then why don't you get your name and a telephone number and a website out so if anybody's out there and wants to help, because, ladies and gentlemen, this is so important. We know in other countries, for instance, where they were giving free vaccines in Philippines and Kenya, African countries to women, a free tetanus vaccine, we're just here from the government, actually it was a contraceptive vaccine,
right,
so that they wouldn't become sterile. And they gave it to millions of women without their knowledge, because they were from the World Health Organization, and they used vaccines for population control. So how can people help you? Because we're talking about the minds of our children, of our infants, and mercury is toxic to the human brain.
Right. You could either email NoShots, N-O-S-H-O-T-S, at snowcap, that's S-N-O-C-A-P as in Paul, .net, or you could call 970-641-7413.
970-641-7413. Why snowcap? Are you up around at Mount Shasta or what?
Actually, I'm now living in Gunnison, Colorado.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm still running California vaccine awareness, so that's why my email is snowcap. But we do have a California vaccine awareness account specifically set up for this purpose, so that we can take in some funds and try and get this testing done. And I've got some other organizations that are not necessarily vaccine involved, but involved in the mercury issue, who are very interested in these results. And if we can, get these results to them, they are actually willing to then do some further funding and testing of maybe all vaccines, because this has become such a huge issue. Right now we have several large class action suits in progress in this country because of the mercury in vaccines. And unfortunately, there is a bill in the United States Senate right now being heard by the Health Committee, Senate Health Committee, that would block. Actually, they would be able to stop any class action suit regarding thimerosal that is in place right now, and in the future, no parent would ever be able to hold a manufacturer liable. Even though, like for instance, my daughter received in one day, 104 times what the EPA considers a safe level of mercury.
And of course, what they're doing is they're giving multiple vaccinations to our children, sometimes six different vaccines in a day, you know, lumped together. And this is totally absurd. It is, and children die as a result of it. Children get autism because of it. Medically, it's totally unsound, but it's just so convenient. And,
right,
of course, doctors are told this is what you're supposed to do by people who work for the government, and most of them, many of them, when they finish up with government, get high-paying jobs working for the drug manufacturers and the vaccine manufacturers, and this is immoral, but this is the way the system works, and I hate to say it, but it's absolutely true. And
right,
we have people who have no concept of morality, and they're making decisions as far as your children are concerned. People about as moral as Kenneth Lay of Enron, people don't understand. This is how the system works, and you're going to have to protect yourself, because the doctor is told what to do, and if he doesn't go along with it, he can lose his license. So, we've got to free the doctors, and then we've got to educate them, because most doctors are out there trying to do the best they can, but most of them do not know the danger of these vaccines, the mercury, and they certainly don't know, of the adverse reports. You talk to the average doctor about the danger of hepatitis B vaccine, he's never heard what you'll read if you read my newsletter, that there are far more children died, or had serious adverse reactions to in 1996 to hepatitis B. I think there were over 800 of them. And, of course, about 30 or 40 children died after taking hepatitis B in 1996. There were only some 250 cases of hepatitis B in children under 14 that year. That's all that were reported.
Right.
So why are we giving all children and having 800 adverse reports was probably only a fraction of the adverse reports. In fact, one of the things I've always wondered on is, why do they require death reports and incident reports of disease, but they don't require adverse reports, and probably only a very small portion of the adverse reactions get reported?
Right. Well, actually, little known fact, but doctors are required by law to report any suspected, even if they can't prove beyond any doubt, even if it's just suspected, they are required to report all adverse reactions to vaccines to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. But the problem with that is there's no penalty for not reporting it. So, you know, studies show a wide range of outcomes, but as low as 1% of all adverse reactions being reported to VAERS. So whatever numbers VAERS have, that's probably around 1%. The FDA admits, they will admit to 10%. So they say, you know, it's only 10% of the actual number, which means you could take VAERS numbers basically times 10, and you'd be somewhere within a more reasonable number of the true reaction rate.
Well, if those figures for 1996 were accurate, that would mean about 8,000 reactions,
right,
when there are only 250 cases of children infected in the entire country reported that year. Boy, it's something inconsistent about that. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Don Winkler. When we get back, we'll invite your calls here at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to be responsible for the health of your family and the health of your children, because you can't really trust the medical establishment, which, of course, is influenced by those promises of big-paying jobs, of course, when these officials leave government service. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I want to remind you about a couple of things you can do to help us, because we're on the front lines 5 hours a day trying to get people to understand you're not getting the truth from the controlled media. And they are not going to tell you the things that we're going to tell you or give you the sources of reference, and they're going to simply attack anybody who says anything bad about something like hepatitis B vaccine. Well, let me tell you, there's no justification for giving it to newborn infants. Somebody made that decision because it's very, very expensive. $85 a shot in America, and you get three shots, $1 a shot over in China. So let me simply point out that you can get our four-tape set on vaccines or an anthrax vaccine. They're different four-tape sets. You need to get them, and you need to listen to them. And then, of course, we are offering Miracle 2 soap products. We will tell you that they're excellent products. We use them ourselves. Some of our people who've used them say it's helped them with various issues, with heartburn, with certainly with skin rashes. We make no claims other than to say that we think it's excellent soap. These products are available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. A soap, a moisturizing soap, a lotion, a gel, and a neutralizer. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we also want to mention the Phonopoly program to teach children how to read phonetically and spell phonetically. And, of course, the Robinson Home Educational Program, and it takes children from first grade all the way up to graduation from high school. Could you believe that there is an organized effort to dumb down children all across America? As we see falling SAT scores, it's very easy to say, well, gee, we need to just spend more money. That'll solve our problem. Ladies and gentlemen, that won't solve the problem at all, because there is an organized program within the hierarchy of education to dumb down our children intentionally. Outcome-based education is a fascinating book written by Pamela Hobbs Hofker and Pat Lutzik, going into the background of the program of the humanists who gained control of the educational establishment in the United States to change the attitude of our children, to change their attitude towards God and family and country. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for outcome-based education. Once you understand what they're doing to your children, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Don Winkler. Don, what's the relationship between autism and injections, or do we know, or will the government study this? My understanding is that incidence of autism, this terrible, terrible disease that now affects so many children in the United States, has increased some 600%, and it started just about the time we started giving the MMR vaccine. Do we have any idea if there's a relationship?
Yes, we do. There are a couple of possibilities here that are gaining support, and more scientific studies are coming out to back that up. One is that MMR is causing autism and autism spectrum disorders. You have to keep in mind there are many, all the way from Asperger's and anything in between. So there have been studies that show two things. Actual measles, subclinical measles infection, basically measles virus living in the intestines of autistic children, which ends up causing what they call leaky gut syndrome, which ends up causing a certain, basically, chemical to reach the brain that should not be reaching the brain. And then the other possibility is that the mercury content, which actually MMR does not contain mercury, but it is thought that the mercury content of all the vaccines, because mercury is cumulative in the body, that this buildup, because they received so many vaccines throughout their childhood, when you get enough mercury in the system, it will affect the brain. It's a neurotoxin. It's a developmental toxicant. And we know that the symptoms of mercury poisoning actually are very similar to the symptoms of autism. So we kind of have two things going on here, the living measles virus in the intestines of these children, and then a possible mercury poisoning situation. And more research is showing that, yes, vaccination, namely MMR, but probably a combination of several, is causing autism to rise. And we are now at an incidence, the CDC is saying, of 1 in 150 children are being diagnosed with autism in this country now. And we used to be at something like 1 in 1,000. So it's a dramatic increase, and yes, it has taken place since the introduction of MMR and the big push for mass vaccination campaigns.
Well, my understanding is that they did not see this in England, because they didn't start the MMR campaign when we did.
Right.
But 10 years later, when they started it, whoops, there goes their incidence of autism as well.
Right.
And, exactly. What really disturbs me, if the thimerosal, this mercury compound in vaccines is safe, why don't the vaccine manufacturers show us the evidence and prove it's safe and then continue using it? If it isn't safe, why these people have been poisoning our children? Why have they done that?
One of the law firms that's right now in progress with a class action lawsuit regarding thimerosal, they actually have in their possession a document, an internal document that the CDC has had for a number of years. And that document actually shows that they did study, what the chances of developing autism would be when you consider the cumulative effect of mercury that a child gets from their childhood vaccines. And that document shows that they have known for years that it does increase the risk of autism. And that is why now we have this Senate Bill 2053, which will stop these class action suits in their tracks.
In other words, if you have enough money, you can buy off the senators. They'll pass legislation that will protect the people who've been poisoning our children.
Exactly.
And, ladies and gentlemen, what you don't understand is that the vaccine manufacturers have enough money, and they make fantastic amounts of money on this. I mean, can you imagine every infant gets 3 shots of vaccine at $60 to $85 a shot? I know my doctor told me it would cost me $85 just for the shot without the doctor's visit. And so, they get all this from all these children that don't need it, And, of course, now, of course, they can buy the finest we have the finest politicians that money can buy who will go along and pass this legislation and to protect the vaccine manufacturers. In fact, they already have legislation that says it makes it almost impossible to sue a vaccine manufacturer, so they have this federal fund that you can sue. And
right. So manufacturers currently are protected from an individual lawsuit. Like, I personally, by myself, can't go sue SmithKline-Beecham for the death of my daughter. I have to go through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which is almost impossible to end up, winning or getting any money out of that fund.
No, well, of course, they justified giving the manufacturers a free card by saying, well, we're going to establish this federal fund,
right,
and then lots of luck trying to sue the federal government.
So now that thousands of parents have come together and decided, well, if we can't sue you individually, we're going to have a class action lawsuit. That's what they've been pushed to do. Now that we are in the middle of that, now there's an effort to block the class action lawsuit. So, in essence, the pharmaceutical companies will be absolutely protected from any liability whatsoever.
But of course, what the company says, look, I mean, if you don't give us this protection, we'll quit making vaccines.
Right.
And look at the disaster that will follow. Well, I can say that if you're not going to put out a safe product, you shouldn't be manufacturing it, because any of you who would like a copy of my latest newsletter will find out we have done so much more damage from vaccines and the benefit of vaccines, that if you would like a free copy of my newsletter and haven't gotten one before, I would be glad to send you one. Of course, we'll hope you want to subscribe and get the truth, the information you're not going to get from Barbara Walters, from us on a regular basis. But this latest newsletter is vitally, vitally important. You really need to get it, and you need to circulate it, especially with the idea that the government is going to force you to be vaccinated, and everybody in your family, in case, of course, there's some sort of a health care emergency, which is scary to me. It really is. Well, this really is so disturbing. Is there any opposition to this bill that would have the backing of people who can buy some of the finest senators in Washington, D.C.?
Yes, actually, there's opposition in the capacity that I've never seen before. It's wonderful. It's absolutely terrific. I don't know if it's going to be enough to stop it, but effort on the part of many, many different types of organizations. I couldn't even name them all. So
what can our listeners do to help, and who would they get in touch with? And do you think those attorneys would come on our program?
If they'd like to call me or email me, I can certainly let them know how they can help in this effort to stop this bill. It's extremely important. It's, in my opinion, this is the equivalent of if we could go back in time, if someone were to be able to basically put a stop to the whole tobacco lawsuit and the tobacco money that came out of that. That's what we're facing here. These class action suits regarding mercury and vaccines, many people believe would be bigger than the tobacco issue. But it's about to be stopped. So if listeners would like to get a hold of California Vaccine Awareness in order to put in their 2 cents, at least, let their senators know how they feel, please email or call California Vaccine Awareness at 970-641-7413 or noshots@snowcap.net.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hate to have to turn to attorneys to solve problems that should be solved by doctors, but the doctors aren't going to solve it, and the politicians aren't going to solve it. And, of course, the attorneys did finally get something done about tobacco, which was killing so many people in America, and the government did it, knew it, and what they did, they put a notice on the packages of cigarettes that says these may be harmful to your health, and as a result, why anybody wanted to sue the tobacco manufacturers why then they'd say, look, you knew it was there. Just look at that in that fine print on the packet. So really what the government did was to protect the tobacco manufacturers. And they got away with it, and they worked hand in glove with them for so many years, and they've been doing the same thing with the vaccine manufacturers. So, but
right.
Now,
and most parents do not see a product insert from a vaccine. So most parents don't even have a chance to read the fine print.
Yeah, they sure ought to, though, because that's
right.
their responsibility for their children. And the doctor is simply doing what he's told to do. That's the tragedy. Well, if you're out there and you'd like to give us a call at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, give us a call. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you agree, maybe you disagree. Well, that's fine. We'd love to hear from you. Because, believe me, we're talking about something that can affect your children. And with the new legislation that's being passed in every state in this nation, this Model State Emergency Health Powers Act, they can force you to be vaccinated or you will become a criminal if you refuse. And if you've heard this conversation, you really want to become a criminal for refusing to take a vaccine. Now, my feeling is, Dawn, that they're just giving too many vaccines now and overstimulating the child's immune system. Aren't a lot of these children developing all sorts of autoimmune diseases and asthma?
Yes, they are. They are. And actually, you know, that's no mystery to the powers that be. I have journal articles talking about the fact that vaccination does not induce the same immune response as a naturally occurring disease. In fact, it stimulates the opposite. Having a disease stimulates what they would call a Th1 response, which actually protects you sometimes against certain allergies, autoimmune disorders, so on and so forth. When you stimulate the opposite, a Th2 response, you actually become more susceptible to allergies, asthma, autoimmune disorders, because you have a Th response imbalance. You're leaning one way or the other. When you have a naturally occurring disease, your body tends to, because it's a natural infection, you're not bypassing all sorts of important critical components of the immune system. You have a balance. You overcome the disease, you have a balanced T-cell response. That is not the case with vaccination. And believe me, the scientific community knows that, because they are actually working on creating vaccines that they hope would induce the opposite response.
All right, we're going to have
what they're inducing now.
We're going to have to take a quick break here, and then when we get back, we'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there across America listening to us and you agree that there's a problem, if you agree that the things that are happening could only happen if there were really evil and wicked people, in fact, that we really are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a medical battlefield in the case of vaccines, we hope that many of you will decide that you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, a lot of people support vaccines that are just good-hearted people. I used to totally support vaccines until I began to study this. But when you begin to study and you get the facts, and that's what you're going to learn here, and we'll give you the sources of documentation where you can verify what we're saying, why then we hope that many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, we would suggest that many of you would hopefully want to join and become members of the Radio Liberty family, and when you do that, why, you get our 4 best tapes in the month, you get our monthly newsletter, and that's, of course, for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more. Other people will simply subscribe to the newsletter, and that helps us to get it out across America. And then, of course, we hope that you will tell other people about our programs. We hope that you'll tell them about our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. You can pull our newsletters down off the website. If you can't afford them, why, copy them off the website and then distribute them that way. But if you could make 25 or 50 copies of our last two newsletters, the June or July newsletters, and get them out across America and ask the people who receive them to copy them, we could have a real impact. And then, of course, remember our telephone number. It's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America truly is under attack today. Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is this afternoon is Don Winkler, and Don is certainly in charge of the organization dealing with vaccines. What's the name of the organization again?
It's California Vaccine Awareness.
California Vaccine Awareness. And, you know, there is so much you need to know about vaccines. If you have children, if you have grandchildren, you need to understand that we are risking their lives in many instances by giving them the incidence of juvenile diabetes, of juvenile autoimmune disease, of juvenile asthma has doubled in the last 20 years. The incidence of autism has about gone up 600%, attention deficit disorder about 300%. And people don't understand this. They don't understand what the mercury toxin does to the brains of children. And you're not going to hear about this from Barbara Walters, at least. Have the major media been picking up on this very much?
No, but very interesting. I just can't believe this. A lot of people have probably seen in the past week or two major headlines regarding how pregnant women should not eat tuna during their pregnancy because the mercury content in tuna fish actually affects the developing fetus. It is beyond me, then, how we can say once that baby is born and only weighs between 5 and 10 pounds, we can inject mercury at between 48 and 100 times the EPA's limit for mercury exposure. But yet a pregnant woman should not eat tuna fish. These have been major, major headlines over the past week.
I've seen
them. One word about the mercury in vaccines.
Well, you know, it's amazing how they manipulate the American people. Because,
right,
of course, the government, we're from the government, we're here to protect you. Well, you know, of course, what are some of the other vaccines that children have had problems with? They've even had autisms with a DPT, haven't they?
Right, yes. Like I said, it's not just a matter of the measles virus living in the intestines of kids, but the mercury component is definitely a factor, and DPT for years contained a very large amount of mercury. So I can't really name a vaccine for which there have been no serious adverse events. DPT, polio, the old oral polio vaccine caused cases of polio because it was a live virus vaccine. But now we're giving an injected version, and although it won't cause polio, there's the very likely possibility that it still contains basically viruses from monkey tissue, because they grow the polio virus still to this day in monkey tissue. And we did have a fiasco with SV40, which stands for simian virus number 40, that was contained in the polio vaccine and is now being found in cancer cells, usually brain cancer, but also other types of cancer as well. The problem is, although that they claim we've screened out SV40 and that that's not a problem with a polio vaccine anymore. What people don't understand is the only reason they were able to screen out SV40 is because we are aware of it. There may be who knows how many more simian viruses from the monkey tissue that they use that we simply aren't aware of. So we are not screening the polio vaccine for those viruses.
Well, of course, what happened was they probably infected 90 million Americans with these cancer-producing viruses. Then, of course, they knew that there were cancer-producing viruses, but they couldn't tell the American people back in 1961 and 1962 or 1963. So they kept giving them the vaccine with the cancer-producing viruses in it, because if they pull the polio vaccine off the market before they had an alternative, the public would learn what had happened. And so then they, of course, they switched over to the Sabin vaccine, and they started using African green monkeys, but they didn't bother to check to find out what viruses were in the African green monkeys. And those of you who'd like to hear about that, that's the subject of my latest newsletter. They go from one catastrophe to another, and then they've got to conceal the truth from the American people, because if they didn't, people would lose confidence in vaccines. And you really need to read my latest newsletter about the viruses in the African green monkeys and how now we've infected the people with a new monkey virus. And, of course, when we start bringing viruses from other species into the human species, we're really playing with fire.
Right, exactly.
All right, well, why don't you tell our listeners about the rotavirus? Now, here is one of the great accomplishments of all time. We really want to do away with infant diarrhea, which is a problem in other countries. It is not a major problem in the United States. It never has been. But we got to use it on the children in America to raise the funds so we can fund you giving this in Africa and in third world countries. Tell us the story of the rotavirus vaccine, the great accomplishment that they made.
Right. Well, first of all, when the rotavirus vaccine was licensed under the name RotaShield, several members of the committee who licensed that particular vaccine were actually somehow financially tied to the company that makes RotaShield vaccines. And in fact, one of the members owned the patent to RotaShield vaccine.
So these were the people who were making the decisions to protect the American people.
Major conflict of interest, and in fact, it was so major that Congress actually did hold a hearing solely on the conflicts of interest that surrounded the licensing process of that particular vaccine. So during this licensing process, these individuals had access to the clinical trial information that took place.
Now, the clinical trial was what was done to make sure that it was safe for use in American children.
Right, and they ignored the fact that intussusception, which is a bowel obstruction, actually did occur at, a lot of people believe, a very significantly higher rate in the subjects receiving RotaShield as compared to the controls. The members of the committee that licensed that vaccine simply ignored that information and said, well, that's not significant. We're going to license it anyway, probably because they were receiving money from the pharmaceutical company who is making the vaccine. So they license it, and then the CDC's ACIP committee decides that every infant needs to get RotaShield vaccine at 2, 4, and 6 months.
So three shots of this new vaccine before 6 months of age.
Right.
Because we're from the government and we want to protect you. And what happened?
So within just a few months of that recommendation and the licensing, the very beginning of the release of this vaccine, there were over 100 cases of intussusception or severe bowel obstruction among the infants who are receiving this vaccine. And many of them died, many of them needed surgery, and actually, it's pretty amazing to me because it's never happened before, but they did actually pull that vaccine off the market because of the severe problems with that vaccine. Okay. However, there's a new one in the works, and don't worry, they'll have one released, I would say within probably the next 2 years.
Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I had the opportunity of talking to Dr. Kenneth Alabak, who was the number two man in the Soviet biowarfare unit. He's now here in the United States. He told me that he'd taken some 50 vaccines because when you're working with these lethal vaccines that they were preparing to use on the American people, use in biological warfare against us, you have to protect the workers. He said, as a result of taking all those vaccines, he's allergic to everything. He said, the more vaccines you take, the more allergic you become. And this is what we find repeatedly with the people in the military. My son almost died of respiratory arrest from acute asthma. Talked to a man just this morning who was totally allergic to everything after he got out of the military. Never had any allergies before. When you go in the military, every time you turn around, they give you a new shot. Have you heard that story, Don?
Yes, I have. And that just goes along with what I was saying about the imbalance of TH1 and TH2 response. It's really not a mystery to anyone involved in the vaccine industry that they do lead to a tendency toward allergy. It's a fact. We know that, but it's not something you'll hear on the 5 o'clock news. So parents out there wondering, why does my kid have so many allergies? Why does my kid have an autoimmune disorder? They need to be seriously looking at vaccines as a possible culprit.
And one of the things is the shocking increase in juvenile diabetes since, of course, we started giving them multiple vaccines, and this then becoming part of this autoimmune complex.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are real problems out there. You need to get the facts, and you're not going to get them elsewhere. Let me suggest you get in touch with Dawn. Want to give your telephone number again?
Yes, 970-641-7413. And just very quickly, I need to mention that there are two critical bills in progress right now in California. One is what you mentioned earlier, Assembly Bill 1763. That is basically the CDC's Model Health Emergency Powers Act that would, if California passes it, it would give the governing authority, the governing body that they choose, the authority to force smallpox vaccination on every citizen in California if they so choose.
Or maybe anthrax or whatever they want.
Or whatever they choose. And the other bill is AB 915. This will be the first bill that mandates a vaccine for a geographical area. It would mandate hepatitis A vaccine for only 7 counties for kindergarten in California. They're all in Southern California. And basically, from what we've been able to gather about this, they're targeting the Mexican population. And incidentally, they have recruited usually politicians with Hispanic background to sponsor their bill. We fought and won against another bill and stopped hepatitis A mandation in the whole state of California. So now they are resorting to trying to force it on 7 counties. Ms. Klein Beecham has given over $250,000 in the past year to members of the California Senate.
We're out of time. God bless you, Don. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Come back again sometime soon.
Okay, great. I'd love to.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we have some of the finest politicians and Sacramento that money can buy, and you have them all across the country, and we have them right in Washington, D.C. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not involved when they come for your children, what are you going to say when they become autistic, diabetic, have asthma? Who are you going to blame? Yourself? No. It's them. No, it's your fault because you're not involved. Get involved now, please, and pray for America. Until tomorrow, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.